This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
We're in a situation where we want to go and have a good practice, good strong practice, and then, you know, with some of the injuries that we do have, want to get through that practice and see where we stand as it relates to those injuries and then numbers available each position. So it has not been decided yet, but I think the first step here for us is having a strong practice outing against the Bears on Friday and then being able kind of to reset the deck and go from there as it relates to how we come out of that and how healthy we are.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott from yesterday with Shope and the Bulldog. We don't know yet if starters will be playing this weekend. A good bit of them played last weekend. Josh Allen not among them. We do know the Bears are going to be playing their starters, including Caleb Williams. We talked about this, Derek, before the first preseason game against the Giants. You know, do you want starters to play, what have you? I still don't, especially with all the injuries. I don't. But there are guys I do want to see. Like, I'm with Sal. Like, I want to see the defensive line. I want to see the rookies continue to impress. I want to see Landon Jackson start to impress because I think there's a very real chance that they see him as a AJ Epenesa replacement, sooner rather than later, maybe. But he needs to start showing out. Also, the Tyrell Shavers stuff. I want to see it keep going. I'm not expecting to have another 58-yard catch, don't get me wrong. But I'd love if he reeled in another 3-4 catches, maybe even in the first half, and you're like, okay, like they're going to keep 6 wide receivers. I want to have that feeling by the end of this of that position group has made it so difficult for them to cut anybody, they're going to keep 6.
Correct. I do think that conversation's already there. I think they're going to keep 6. I always thought that they would end up keeping 6 anyway. And if not, then 6 is like first practice squad call up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Until you can then open a spot for him. You even have an extra roster spot, or two of them, really, to start the year.
Yeah.
Because of Hoyt and Ogunjobi. That definitely allows for 6 to be a comfortable allotment for the wide receiver position.
I also will say, too, on the defensive line, it doesn't mean too much. I'd like them to register a sack, though. That was one of the Sal's arrow downs. But I'd like them to register a sack.
Against the quarterback who took 68 sacks last year? I agree.
Yeah, he was third in the league last year. Caleb Williams, we're talking about third in the league last year in terms of sack percentage. The only guys that were better than him.
Higher, not better.
Yep. Deshaun Watson at 13.25. Again, he only played 7 games. And then Will Levis at 11.9. He only played 12 games to Williams' 17.
So the players that had a higher sack percentage than him were the worst contract in the NFL's history and the meme lord himself.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Not a good club to be with.
And as Derek, you mentioned, he led the league in sacks by quite a margin. Number 2 in the league was C.J. Stroud, who we all acknowledged had a horrific offensive line, 52. Williams took 68. Now, on that, Chicago,
16 more than the team that had the leaky offensive line.
Yeah. Now, we all do know this offseason has been Chicago retooling mainly the interior of the offensive line. They may have, I think, 3 new starters on that line. But yeah, I'd like to see a Bills defensive line that I liked in spots, individual performances. I liked what I saw against the Giants. What I did not like seeing was, to be fair, how much the Giants were able to pass the ball, to be perfectly honest. But we've mentioned that's probably more due to game plan. Don't throw your body out there too much. Like, we're trying to stay healthy. We want to see you react.
If we see the second thing, if we see this the second week in a row, then yeah, you're kind of like a little more annoyed.
But yeah, I mean, against a team that gave up a lot of sacks, I'd like to see guys like TJ Sanders, Deion Walker, Landon Jackson. be able to notch that. I think especially, too, with all of us not being at practice, this is what we get to see. This is where, you know, for preseason games, I think are important to a lot of fans, is we don't get to see practice. The most many of us will get to do on a regular basis is read what guys like Sal wrote.
Right.
And we get his thoughts, and we'll see some videos. But a preseason game, we actually get to see, you know, TJ Sanders make a great swim move on the right guard. You know, Deion Walker being a bigger human being than basically everyone on the field and making big plays. You want to see that in part as well, because like outside of the draft, this is maybe the most hopeful period for most NFL fan bases.
Right.
And for somebody like me especially, wanting to see the defensive line really take a step forward because you put so much into it.
You invested so much mm-hmm. into this that you need.
I mean, I mentioned it during the game, how happy I was that I was finally starting to see game reps of defensive linemen. In a way, I kind of needed it to feel better because up to this point, you're throwing darts at a dartboard. And they can hit, don't get me wrong, but you literally don't know. You're doing it blindly and hoping it hits.
The and preseason in practice, allows you're not you to, able to register quarterback hits or sacks.
Yeah, and in the preseason, you're peeking the blindfold up a little bit. You're able to see just a little bit. It may be a mirage because you're half blinded, but you don't know. This will give you a little bit more hope if it goes well. I think it's also to the negative point why seeing the third down defense struggle. It was already a struggle last year. It was already an issue to see them continue to be so.
Right.
It's why we all take the preseason pledge, right?
But
it still happened. And you're like, not again, not again, not again.
But dang it, it would be nice to get some sacks registered on a quarterback who looked like he was way too patient with the football last year.
Yeah. Williams is interesting. I'm very excited to see him play. I liked him a lot in college. I didn't love him. He did a lot of things that
I didn't think he was a first overall pick type quarterback.
The game against Notre Dame, I think, did that for a lot of people because he looked lost. He looked like once there was any kind of pressure on him, and that's true of any quarterback, but any pressure on him, he looked
even
rattled.
His highlights, he'd go wandering 20 yards into the backfield, and I'm like, that's Zach Wilson.
Little Johnny Manziel-esque too, where if it worked, you're like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest play I've ever seen. But you're like, yeah, but in the NFL, that's not going to work.
They're going to close on him faster if he's running around wandering in the backfield like that. That is, you have more athleticism than the rest of college kids. In the NFL, they're all about as fast, if not faster than you.
Yep. And so I'm excited to see him play just because I want to see, you know, yeah, in Sal's point, tomorrow, how do the Bills look against the Ben Johnson-led offense? I'm just excited to see what Caleb Williams looks like with, you know, I guess the skeleton of one in a preseason game, just to see like how he's matured. Because it does feel like he's the only rookie quarterback, or second-year quarterback, excuse me, that has like no positive vibes around him. And that includes guys like J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix, who either barely played or didn't play at all last year. You know, McCarthy is living off of, for many Vikings fans, one preseason game in which he looked really good, and then he hurt his knee and he was done. Penix played, I think, three games, three touchdowns, three picks, and that's about it. Where Williams played most of the year, May played most of the year, Knicks, Daniels, like they all did. But the other three, it feels like we've got our guy. We're moving on. I speak about Denver all the time, about how I think they're a rising tide here. Maybe they challenge the Chiefs for the division. I think overall they're just going to be a perennial playoff team in the AFC. Drake May with New England. They got him for Abel now. What's Kyle Williams look like? What's Stephon Diggs look like? We kind of know they have the quarterback after 1 year in which they won three games, whatever it was. Yep. Jaden Daniels goes to the NFC Championship. Got to feel great about that.
Amazingly.
And then you have Williams. And it just feels like, at least nationally, no one believes in him.
And that's where McCarthy getting hurt. It's like it's still that benefit of the doubt. We don't know what he is really
right,
yet.
Right, right.
And Williams, it was bad. It was not good. The only thing that was not bad about him was that he only threw six interceptions.
Yeah, his touchdown-interception ratio is fantastic.
But that's because he was picking the dirt out of his face mask half the time.
We mentioned 68 sacks. He also led the league in throwaway passes at 36. The next closest was Darnold at 29 and Mahomes at 26.
And that is also, you're going to get sacked.
So you got to throw it away.
And now we're not even looking at the amount of times he got hit.
Mm-hmm. In terms of his QB rating, he is the lowest of anybody that played more than 15 games.
The boy got battered almost as bad as David Carr.
46.7. And this is with a team that added, you know, Rome Odunze, who was a big name for most Bills fans.
DJ Moore's part of that
DJ
trade.
DJ Moore is already there. Cole Kmet's there. Like, they had weapons that you felt are going to be good enough. I think that also points to how bad the Bears were set up last year. And while I complain about firing a coach after year one with a rookie quarterback and going into a new system and changing it, the Bears were one of them. And why I say that is more, you should fire the staff first, hire the new staff, then go draft the quarterback.
Then draft the quarterback that staff believes in, especially if you have the first mm-hmm. overall pick.
Rather than bringing in Ben Johnson to, hey, you have to make Caleb work. We took him first overall.
A first overall pick, mind you, that they never really needed in the first place.
They never had. They didn't earn it.
They got it in a trade. They got it through Carolina.
Yeah. Which was why many of us at this point last year were talking about, man, is this the best rookie situation ever for a quarterback? DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, they've got it. It feels like a good defense. They're going to be just fine.
Turns out Shane Waldron was just in the back corner like, no.
We maybe should have known that earlier. Never forget Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I think this was at Super Bowl week. Mm-hmm. When asked about Shane Waldron, he basically couldn't say a positive thing. Like, he struggled for 30 seconds to say anything positive.
Yep.
And NFL
players are typically diplomatic in those situations.
And I think we talked to Zach Pearson a few months ago, and even he mentioned, like, they kind of knew early this was bad. I think in camp, and you look at the schedule as well. Last year, they put up 36 against Carolina, 35 against Jacksonville. They hit the bye.
They're 4-2 at the bye.
They're 4-2. Everything looks pretty good. Caleb's starting to, it feels like, maybe get better.
He's got a couple of 300-yard games in there now.
Yeah. And again, you're 4-2 going into the bye. You're feeling good. They will score over 20 points just two more times. An overtime loss in week 12 to Minnesota, and the final game of the year against Green Bay. They score 24 and 27 respectively in those.
And that's in 11 games, people.
Yep. They lose to Washington. That's the big Hail Mary play by Jaden Daniels. They score 15 there, 9 against Arizona, 3 against the Patriots, 19 against the Packers. I mentioned the Minnesota
Pause
game.
Pause real quick. That's 3 against those Patriots.
Yeah. That's the Gerard Mayo Patriots. Against Detroit, the game ultimately gets Matt Eberflus fired on Thanksgiving. 20, San Francisco 13, Minnesota 12, Detroit 17, Seattle 3. They are a horrific offensive football team in the second half of the year. It is wild to me that I look, and we kind of know based off history, not all of these quarterbacks will succeed. Like, even the guys that have kind of hit already, you can almost expect a second year drop off.
More so, the classes that get that 5 or 6 players mm-hmm. selected, there's at least one of them that gets people fired.
Yeah.
The 2021 class, that was 4 of them. 4 of them decided, no, we're actually all bad, and Trevor's the maybe of the group.
He is the maybe of the group.
And that's the number one overall pick. He's the maybe of the group.
But they're also on their third coach trying to figure that out.
And 2018. Josh Rosen's the guy that gets people fired. Darnold also does. And it does look like he's kind of fixing his career a little bit, but he had to do it away from the team that drafted him. Mm-hmm. Mayfield is shunned by the team that drafted him. And while he's fixed his career, the team is yet to recover. So there are times when you get these large draft classes, you're going to see somebody. At minimum, oftentimes it's 2 out of a 4 or 5 quarterback draft class
mm-hmm.
where a team has to take years to recover from it.
And this may be the one that with Chicago. I like Ben Johnson a lot. I mentioned it too. I kind of like what they're doing with Williams now, where they're giving the offense a ton and they're making him remember a lot, and it's difficult, what have you. But they're going to start peeling it back the closer they get to week one. And then as the year goes on, we're going to start implementing it again. And I think that's a good way. It's not exactly one for one with this, but it's a lot like a batter in the box has 2 or 3 bats. And they're swinging to kind of, you know, it's the more weighted swing so that when you go up to the plate, you have the one, right? It's that kind of feeling, but it's more mental. But with Washington, we've already seen Daniels hit. He has. He's made an NFC championship.
Right.
He looked great. And he was basically thrown to Terry McLaurin and who else? De'Ami Brown only pops off in the playoffs. Now we'll see what they've done for him in year two with the McLaurin stuff still going on. Brown is gone. They brought in Samuel, what have you. Drake May mentioned it. I mean, they won like 4 games last year, 3 games, whatever it was.
4.
They've added some pieces. Kyle Williams in third round out of Washington State. Stephon Diggs goes in there. But absolutely, he could take a step back. But right now, none of us feel that way. So two of the first three we feel pretty good about. McCarthy, well, depending on who you ask nationally, he either sucks or he's here we go. That is more coming from Vikings fans of here we go. He's taken over a great offense. I think he's in a great situation there. But if you listen to Colin Cowherd or I know Diane Orsini, they're a little less ready to openly embrace McCarthy. And then you also have Bo Nix, made the playoffs last year. Was arguably statistically equal to Daniels in most parts.
More importantly, kind of does the opposite of Caleb Williams. He turns it on after starting incredibly slow.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a guy can't even hit an accurate football. That Broncos-Jets game, if you love the forward pass, that game set you back 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Between how poorly Nix was playing and how poorly Rodgers was playing, also how great those defenses were doing at the time. But Nix turns it on. Penix, we'll see, but like it's a better feeling than...
Penix is a better feeling, too, because you look around the offense that he has.
He has a lot of supporting cast.
He's got players around him.
But supporting cast does not a quarterback make. Mm-hmm. Look at Caleb Williams.
Right.
I do wonder what's going to happen here, and you're right. Williams is easily the one that you're most pessimistic about the six of them in a draft class. If you have five players out of a six quarterback draft class that relatively hit to varying degrees.
Oh, she have a documentary.
And the number one overall pick is the one that misses?
I think especially, too, with the context that Chicago felt like they were coming in a really good situation, that it wasn't the standard, oh, you're going to a horrific organization, you need to turn it around. And to a certain extent, that is true. Chicago and offense don't really mix.
Right.
But the feeling around that team, it felt almost unanimously was it's a really good situation. We just don't know about the coach. We found out about the coach, but in ways we also found out about Williams. I just, like that's the thing. Like we mentioned the 2018 class there. Allen, Jackson, they're both MVP winners. Like that alone is a smash of a class.
The Bills and Ravens are fixtures.
Right. Darnold is a 4,000-yard passer. He's on, what would this be now? His fourth team with Seattle.
Correct.
But they seem to have paid him a pretty penny to be their starter, at least for the next 3 years. You also have Baker Mayfield, who really figured out his career in Tampa Bay. That's four guys there that are, at worst, very successful.
And
Baker won a playoff game. Darnold made the playoffs last year.
Darnold's kind of your middleman at this point right mm-hmm. now. He still hasn't made a career out of it yet. He has a good season, which is better than what he had. But Mayfield is the line, like the threshold of above average. If you're in that draft class and you're worse than Mayfield, we've kind of got a problem.
Yeah.
Darnold is that right now. If Darnold puts it together here in Seattle as well, different story. And then it's, okay, it's just the Jets being the Jets. Good to know.
It's the Browns being the Browns.
It's the Browns being the Browns and getting rid of a player who was playing well for them. And then there's Josh Rosen.
But that's kind of standard for these quarterback classes. There is the one in the first round. It's a disaster. Zach Wilson is that from a few years ago.
First of all, everyone is a disaster. Even Trevor Lawrence is becoming that.
Extent. But it's just if five of them hit and the one is Chicago. I brought this up on the nightcap last night. Think about how many darts at the dartboard they've thrown in the last 15 years, 10 years. One of them's on the Bills right now. Trubisky is a top five pick.
How do you not?
They made the playoffs with him.
As an organization in its entire history, have never figured out the forward pass.
I mean, they just haven't. You go from Trubisky, they make the playoffs with him. You got the double doing thing in Philadelphia. They probably should have won that game.
Which breaks them.
But it falls apart. They then try again. Justin Fields. I'm a huge Fields guy, right? I think most people know that. I can barely quit him now. I see the one highlight and I'm like, I'm back. I'm back in, baby. But he absolutely does not work in Chicago. Absolutely does not. And there were even signs there early. There were signs with Trubisky as well, too. We forget. He threw six touchdown passes, I think, in his second year against Tampa Bay. I mean, there were signs there with Trubisky of like maybe he's taking the step forward. Fields, at least with a rushing attack, you're like, well, we've got this early. If he gets the passing game going, we'll be fine. He never does. And now we get to Williams. And he has one of the worst seasons again, if you don't look at touchdowns to interceptions, it's one of the worst rookie seasons you could have.
I'm going to ask you this, point blank.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who leads this team with the most prolific passing season that the Chicago Bears have had in all time in the franchise history?
Like, I feel like all time.
In their entire franchise history. Best season.
Just one season. I want to say it's a Cutler year. I don't think it's going to be. For the memes, it'll be Sid Luckman.
So, ready? Caleb Williams is fifth after the year that he had.
Incredible. Incredible.
Three of those years up ahead of him are indeed Cutler. You are correct.
Okay.
He is not the number one answer.
Is it Sid Luckman?
It's not Sid Luckman.
It's not McMahon, is it?
No. McMahon, where is McMahon's best pass?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, there's no way it's Jim McMahon.
McMahon's best year is 21st.
Okay.
It's
Bobby Douglas.
It's a person who shares a very similar name to me. Take away the first letter in my name. Eric Kramer.
Not a real person. Got it.
In 1995 with 3,838 yards.
Just missed out on 4,000.
They've still never had a 4,000-yard passer in their entire existence.
Well, that is one of my favorite stats, like in football. Like, I want for Bears fans to not have that anymore. I also kind of don't want to lose that stat because it's really fun. Like, look, we all wanted the Chicago Cubs to win a World Series, but also part of you was like, this is insane. It's gone over for a century. Like, this is insane. It's cool. Kramer, by the way, in that year, he's 31, 29 touchdowns, 10 picks, and 95. It's a really darn good year. They're only 9-7, though.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
He takes only 15 sacks on the whole year. That's less than one per game. Good for you, fellow Kramer.
I'm very surprised by a Chicago Bears quarterback throwing 522 passes. That doesn't feel right.
What are you talking about? Cutler has 561, 555 right underneath that.
And it also feels horribly wrong.
And Caleb Williams has thrown the most passes in Chicago Bears history.
From last year?
In a season. 562 attempts.
He did throw that many, didn't
he? Just beating out Cutler at 561.
He did throw that many. I'm very excited to see the second-year group. And in part, I want to see if Williams can take that step forward. I was not as high on him as a prospect. I think many people know I was a huge Drake May guy. But I did like Williams. I thought he was in a great situation. Doesn't look like that right now. But we'll see now with Ben Johnson and what he can do. 803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here until 12 o'clock. This is WGR.
Any reaction to Grant Stewart essentially putting into question the practice habits of this team?
No, I don't. I mean, literally does not affect me whatsoever. I hope we get the absolute best practice from Grant and everybody else between the whistles, and that makes us better. So I think there's a lot of noise, and I've filed that into the noise category.
That is Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel. Yesterday and today, they're having joint practices with the Detroit Lions, and one of the Lions linebackers, I think it's Grant Stewart, he mentioned basically, like, he doesn't really understand, like, what they're doing, the Dolphins. He just kind of is sort of lost in what they're doing.
Speaking of teams that just decide to, like, get themselves stuck in the mud on purpose.
The Dolphins. I don't like anything that's going on with them. I will tell you, though, I was listening to this morning the bootleg podcast, Brett Coleman and EJ Snyder do that. And going through every team, I think today is the Bills day. I think either today or tomorrow, their long Bills video is coming out. I think today was the Dolphins one. It wasn't yesterday. So today I was listening to it. They're like, at least Brett is, very excited about the Dolphins, or at least intrigued by them.
They're intriguing.
I see, I don't think they are at all. I think McDaniel's out by week six.
Ready?
That's terrible.
That is where I have a different type of intriguing.
Oh, okay.
That's where the intrigue lies.
Like, let's see when their bye week is, because that's where I think this could get really bad.
My intrigue is the
week 12. It's a late
me
bye.
Questioning why people watch reality television. Intrigue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're waiting to see the fire start, and I have pulled up with my bag of marshmallows and s'mores kit. And I'm ready to make some s'mores over the fire.
They start week one.
That's my intrigue with them.
Week one at Indy, then New England at home, at Buffalo, New York, the Jets.
So they get the AFC East and Indianapolis and start. Well,
the AFC East of all.
The old AFC East in totality.
I there's a real shot I think they can start 0-4. I don't like almost anything about them. And even all the drama as well around Tyreek Hill and Tua Tagovailoa, like what's their relationship like? Tua's mentioning, you know, the frustrations of the offense, or Tyreek Hill, I think, mentioned too, like after like 3 years there, Miami still doesn't totally understand the offense. Their vibes there are horrendous. And vibes don't mean everything. I get that. But you do want to have a locker room that is on message, that everyone kind of feels the same way, and you're all moving together. The Dolphins don't feel like that at all.
I wouldn't even say it's the vibes. It seems that there's a lack of focus, which is far worse to say about a team than anything. Miami is a very questionable set for what they might be, because they might be talented enough to just ho-hum win seven games.
Well, especially, too, I mean, after the AFC East run there, they get at Carolina, the Chargers, at Cleveland, at Atlanta. Those are absolutely beatable teams.
They're beatable
absolutely.
Teams. The entire AFC East has a very favorable schedule this year. But what does it turn into? Like, the NFC South games for teams like Miami and the Jets and the Patriots, those aren't automatic wins anymore, though. Carolina's getting scrappier. Atlanta has rebuilt their pass rush. Tampa's Tampa. The Saints are terrible. But you know what? If you lose to the Saints, then you're really in trouble.
Yeah, and at home, too.
Yeah, you better do that. With Spencer Rattler probably starting at this point, because Tyler Shuck is...
It does sound like it's going to be Rattler, at least
not
that's the
good.
Feelings. But yeah, they're playing in Spain this year, by the way. I completely forgot about that. Washington. That actually I'm excited for.
Yeah, you mentioned the Rashi Rice thing, and I looked at their schedule, and it's like, oh, right. They're playing on a Friday to open the season,
Brazil.
And it's on YouTube.
Is that right? It's on YouTube TV?
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, already too many for me. I'll get there.
Thing, can we go just back to complaining about cable again? That'd be great.
I'm 5 to 6 years away from just being old enough to complain about the streaming services. I feel like I'm going to earn that right by 30. Where I'm like, I'm done. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm already kind of there where I'm like, this is too much. I grew up in the land of cable and I saw the rise of streaming services. I'm already done. There's too many of them.
The rise was fine. The fact that everyone now needs their own to make their money.
I'm just exhausted by it.
Look,
exhausted by it.
Whatever. I would say support local business, but none of you are.
Like, it's just like I want to watch like some of these exciting television shows.
I don't know, man.
And like I see it's on Apple TV. No shot. Cool. Moving on.
Cool. Yep. I'm not getting something like
I've had HBO for years, but how soon do I get rid of that? Like, I mean, I kept that for years I'm a huge Game of Thrones guy, and I kept that for years to watch it. How soon before I'm like, I'm out, I'm done. I can't do this.
Band of Brothers is on there.
I love
and
rewatching
the Pacific,
it.
And the Pacific.
I love rewatching Band of Brothers, that kind of stuff. But, like, is that going to force me to, like, keep it?
That's why I don't watch many TV shows.
Probably not. See,
I don't pay for a bunch of different streaming services in that sort of sense.
Painful.
It is painful. All right.
Now so I get a football game on YouTube.
Yeah. Should we get things back on track?
I mean, sure.
I mean, sure, he says.
Now I'm upset, though, thinking about Apple TV and watching a football game on YouTube. Speaking about football games, though, the Bills do play one this Sunday night because, of course, we're going to have a preseason game at night. That makes logical sense to everybody.
Zach's in a hater mood, so I'm going to take the moment to get connected with our fans. And as always, that is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Steve tweeting in from the last segment when we were talking about Caleb Williams. If Williams cannot throw for 4,000 yards with this coach and this stable of wide receivers, it may never get done in Chicago. Steve, I'm absolutely on your side on this one. If they can't hit this combo to get to 4K, you might as well just give them the wing T formation and run triple option like Navy.
I think what's even funnier about
give it
that
up,
too,
pack it in, don't ever draft quarterbacks that can throw a football ever again, and
bring back the wishbone.
Yeah, just do that.
Super
play wishbone.
It'll fit.
play wishbone or wing tee if you can't get it done to 4,000 yards as an organization with Ben Johnson coaching Caleb Williams and having receivers like DJ Moore and Roma Dunze and now Colston Loveland at tight end as well.
He looked good, by the way, in that game against Miami. At least, all the more reason. I would say, to a certain extent, if I can say he looked good in a preseason game, they targeted him a lot to start that game.
But at that point, if you can't get to 4K, pack it up.
So
as an organization, pack it up.
So the other guy that got close to 4K was Jay Cutler. The year before he gets to Chicago, he's in Denver, throws for 4,500 yards. And he gets to Chicago and never reaches that, even close to that milestone ever again.
It's like they have a problem there. Yeah. I don't know what the problem is. I can't explain it. At this point, it's far more unexplainable than like the Bills against the Chiefs in the playoffs or the Leafs in Game 7s. There's something far less explainable about the Bears never having a 4,000-yard passer in their entire franchise history when they are, if I'm not mistaken, one of the oldest, if not the oldest NFL franchise?
They're one of them. They're one of them. Yeah, they've just never...
You can't get it with this combination. Pack it up. Run triple option. Embrace your destiny.
Problem is, too, like... And this is my last thing on Chicago. But from what I've seen from the outside looking in, they've really embraced the 85 team. And like it has almost allowed them to like build the identity of we don't need an offense. We just need a defense. Like we'll build through later on with Brian Urlacher and stuff like that.
Cool. You've been to one Super Bowl since then.
Yeah. And ultimately, the problem is, though, with that defense, it's the 06 defense, which was great and was like in some statistics equal to the 85 team. The 86 team is ultimately better in terms of statistical numbers, but 85 wins the Super Bowl. But it almost has built-in bad habits of, yeah, the Super Bowls they've made, it's been because of these great defenses that they've built. So you can't you can only get so far, I guess, with some fans of like, well, you did win that way. But then you also look at the teams that have been in the division. Like, why is Green Bay still successful? Like, they're the smallest market team. They really load up on offense. They've always cared about the quarterback position in the modern era with Favre, with Rodgers, and then with now Jordan Love. They've always cared about wide receivers and having multiple of them. They've done that forever. The Favre era had his receivers, Rodgers had his, and now Love, they just are giving him a ton of them. They just all can't stay healthy. That's their biggest problem. But they went back to the well this year with Matthew Golden. It just, it kind of feels like, to the listener's point, if they can't do it now with Ben Johnson, you kind of start to wonder when. And to be fair, the real answer is it's when they win five games and they're behind all the time and a quarterback has to throw the ball like Blake Bortles did a few years ago with Jacksonville.
They've had plenty of those seasons.
That's what it'll be.
They've had plenty of those seasons. Still didn't happen.
It still doesn't happen. But that's, I think, the most logical destination is that's when it does happen. But more to that game and on the Bills side of things. We did kind of mention with Sal earlier on in the show kind of guys to keep an eye on. And we mentioned a little bit, I know for me especially, it's the defensive line. Register a sack. It's more splash plays from the individuals. But I do want to mention Tyrell Shavers. He was a guy that missed practice yesterday with I don't know what injury, but he did miss yesterday along with Elijah Moore and a few other guys. But Shavers has become so interesting to me because of the everyone eats offense. And I think that even goes to the entire offense when even you look at the running back room. With the fact that they have Ty Johnson as their third down back, and Ray Davis is a part of it, and of course James right. Cook. I think that goes to everybody. And so on that point, I think if Tyrell Shavers can continue this steady climb that he's been on, it's not like he has to pop off and do anything crazy. He doesn't have to go into a preseason game and have seven catches for 125 yards and two touchdowns. It's not – he doesn't need to do that. It'd be great if he did.
You get 50 to 60 in a preseason game when you're not getting all the snaps, that's typically
great.
A good day.
And he's just become somebody I'm – constantly watching for number 80 because of kind of the love a lot of media members had for him last year and the sort of build up for him. And now this year, it really feels like, man, if they don't keep him, he's getting poached immediately. That he'll go on the practice squad. And essentially, when you do that, you're waving goodbye, that he's leaving. And I can look at a number of teams that maybe could love a Tyrell Shavers. Vegas really doesn't have much past Brock Bowers. San Francisco has a lot of injuries, including the big guys like Ayuk, who Kyle Shanahan said they're hopeful is back by week 6.
Considering his camp and the start to his preseason, I don't know if Tyrell Shavers is on the cut line.
No, he may not be at all. For me, I like watching him play.
He might
more.
Be forcing somebody else there, though.
Yeah. And that's where you do wonder, is the team going to push maybe, hey, Curtis Samuel, you're starting the year on IR. I think that is
– You only have
I'm not
two,
saying it's definitively going to happen. I am sort of waiting on that, though.
You also only have two of those that you can have to return on IR. So you might be saying you're just not playing this year.
Yeah, you're just done.
At that point. The other portion to this is Laviska Shenault. Sal mentioned him as a player to look out for. If Shenault does well in the return game, because I don't think they got enough opportunities to really get anyone to separate from each other, I think that there's going to be something there of if Shenault can play the way that he did, even as a receiver on Saturday, you have a chance to further take a Curtis Samuel or an Elijah Moore, who hasn't really done much when it comes to matching the hype that he had in the preseason or in the offseason.
But to Sal's point, too, he was open, and at least the coaching staff will look
That's a win on tape. That's after that game. But this is, can Shenault challenge? Can Hamler challenge?
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
And for a player whose availability really has been put into question, not just here in Buffalo, but his whole career, can you, as the Bills, find a way to do a pick swap? You get him off the roster, you save your cap space, and it's being pondered because of players like Shavers or Shenault.
803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up Thursday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here. No Bills practice today as the team is traveling to Chicago for a joint practice tomorrow morning. There was also something from last night. We haven't touched on it yet. I don't know if I'm planning on watching it, but I know a lot of people are.
Yep.
The New Heights podcast episode featuring Taylor Swift joining Jason and Travis Kelce. I saw a few of the clips. I know Bills Mafia was mentioned. I know Josh Allen was mentioned.
Bills Mafia was mentioned in a positive manner, mind
you. Okay, I was going to say, I'm like, all I know is that happened. I have not watched it. I know it's about 2 hours.
From that clip, Taylor Swift is at the game recognizes game portion.
Oh, okay, cool.
She mentioned she wanted to jump through a table on fire.
Really?
Tip of the cap.
Did she actually say that?
She says that.
I might have to watch this.
Yeah.
I'm not a Taylor Swift hater or anything like that. It's just I don't really watch the New
Heights podcast.
I
don't understand the hate, but I do think that, like, I don't understand why there's hate. I'm not a Taylor Swift aficionado.
Mm-hmm. The clip may have been out of context.
No!
Oh.
The direct quote is, one of the first things I saw you say was you say to Kylie in reference to Jason Kelce, quote, I was just shotgunning beers with the Bills Mafia and I really want to go through one of those fire tables.
Oh. So it wasn't her.
Eventually she says,
that's me reading. That's me reading the quote.
I'm gonna have to watch this.
You have to like maybe listen to the whole thing.
But it sounds like that might have been Jason Kelce wants
right,
to go through the fire table.
It might have been her seeing Jason Kelce for the first time, saying, "I want to go through a flaming table."
It's a hell of a first introduction, by the way.
Yeah,
it's a crazy introduction.
But
number one,
there's no, from what I know, there's no derogatory slander against Bills Mafia or Buffalo in the slightest, though, either. So, hey, you know what? I'll take that.
I know at least 4 hours ago, 8.7 million people have already watched it. That is insane numbers.
That is...
It's in the first 12 hours.
You have an insane popularity weapon that you didn't really even need to unleash.
Yeah,
it's a good podcast between the Kelce brothers in the first place.
I think I might have to watch this.
And now you're like, hey, we have this thing in our back pocket that we can just use.
Now, this thing, you can't use it all the time. You can't use it all the time, right?
But
eventually she'll just become a character.
She also announces a new album on the show. Mm-hmm. So it does become a little bit of a help for everybody involved.
Oh, of course.
If this is going to hilariously boost their podcast numbers. And she got to announce an album on her boyfriend's podcast.
I think I got 2 hours today. I think I'm going to watch it. I just want to see how this goes. That's going to do it for me and Derek. Coming up after a quick timeout, some hockey talk with the boys. Sabres Live. That'll come after this timeout. You're listening to WGR.